there's plenty of processes in place that enable proper consultation with the various stakeholder groups, and think that this is an extreme move that will ultimately discourage companies from investing in exploration and mining projects.
As you say, you've labelled it extreme, but is it not reasonable for people to want to protect their land, particularly if they have spent many years buying, managing and developing it?
Oh, sure. And I don't think anyone's saying that they're not protecting it. What we're saying is that they can have that protection through the current regulatory arrangements. As we all know, the community owns the resources in the ground. So obviously governments and the community are trying to realise that resource and the revenues generated by them. And a lot of these groups, you know, you've got to remember that there's a very, very small population of stakeholders that are writing this letter. You know, the vast majority are very comfortable with current arrangements, and they work very closely with our industry in the context of enabling access and also being part and parcel of both exploration and mining activities, because they see it as a terrific employment opportunity. So I think we should keep this piece of correspondence in context and not, you know, assume that this goes very broadly.
All right. Well, on that then, what about land access agreements like the Northern Territory has just introduced? The situation where mining and exploration companies and farmers must agree on operating guidelines before they start work. Is that something you think explorers would be open to across Australia?
Look, we've been in discussions with the Minister in relation to these, and we're now sort of looking at the detail of how this is going to come to pass. So, like all these things, the devil's in the detail. But, you know, we've always been receptive to developing protocols and processes by which the various stakeholder groups can sit down and negotiate access arrangements. And usually that's been very, very successful. So it's unfortunate that a very small minority have taken this action, because I don't think it's representative of the various interest groups out there.
But there are examples of where pastoralists or farmers have complained that they've just woken up one day and found mining vehicles driving across a paddock or starting to create a road. That sounds problematic.
Look, that would be the exception. There is no way that companies don't arrange, you know, prior, they would sit down and make sure that they had an access agreement in place. And that all the terms and conditions around that agreement were signed off by all parties. So what you're describing is an absolute exception.
So would it also be an exception, the situation where a family experiences extreme stress, even harm, because they feel like they can't say no or are being muscled into a situation where mining companies are accessing their land?
I would say that would be a rare situation. And I think, as we've seen in the media recently, some significant projects have been terminated or put on a mine life because of the inability to access further deposits. But look, you know, companies highly value the goodwill they have with these landowners. And the last thing they want to do is put people under duress and not have the goodwill that comes with these land access arrangements.